Good morning. It's good to see you and a joy to be able to worship alongside of you. This morning, if you have a Bible with you, I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. It's going to be our text this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the seat back in front of you. We'd love for you to have a copy of God's Word. And we are continuing in kind of this short series on what it means to be the church, and specifically, to live out our membership promises. And so we've been talking about for the last couple weeks and continue on today that the church is not just a building, it's not just a place, it's not an event on the weekends. The church is a people. It is a people who are called by God into His family, and we live in relationship to one another. And as we pursue King Jesus together, we make His glory known. We pray here in the Tri-Cities area, but beyond here to the ends of the earth. We want to be a church that magnifies Jesus, and even the principle that's kind of among all of our core principles is God's glory. We exist for Him. But if we're going to exist for God, we can't do that apart from the church. Amen? Well, thank you. There's a few of you. Let's try that again. We're still waking up. Get there. We cannot exist for the glory of God apart from the church. Amen? Thank you. You're with me. We're together this morning. That's good. We need one another. It's not Tri-Cities design or the elders' design. This is God's design, God's purposes, that God has created a people, and that people belong to Him, and they exist for His glory. And the way they magnify Him most is they do that in pursuit of one another through this thing called the church. And so we've been walking through our principles and practices and promises. We're going to continue on that today. And Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1, is where we're going to be. So I'm just going to read this, and I invite you just to read along with me this morning. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. He's quoting from the Psalms here. In saying He ascended, what does it mean but that He also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. He's talking about Jesus. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow up so that it builds itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. So there's so much in this text, but this text sets up one of the core practices that's so important for us this morning. And the best way that I know kind of to introduce and kind of get our minds around it is to revisit a quote that Pastor Mike put before us a couple weeks ago when we started the series. And it's a quote from Charles Spurgeon, which says this: If I had never joined a church till I found one that was perfect, I should never have joined one at all. And the moment that I did join it, I should have spoiled it. Still, imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth. And as you read that quote, and we like to kind of talk about the imperfect part because we recognize our brokenness and our need for God's grace, and that's true. What I want you to think about is this last part of this line: it is the dearest place on earth. Here's the question I want to ask this morning. What is the dearest place on earth to you? If someone were to stop you in the hallway or around the dinner table or at work and said, hey, what is the dearest place to you? What would your answer be? This past week, my wife and I had a cool opportunity. So this was Kids Camp Week, and we're so thankful for Kids Camp and our kids team and the way they invest the gospel in lives of our kids. And so we had three go to Kids Camp. And so when we have three out of four go somewhere and we only have one child left, we do what all good parents do. We get out of town. So this past week, my wife and I were able to go to Hilton Head for a few days, and we love the beach, and we specifically love Hilton Head. We don't get to go a lot, but when we do, it's one of our favorite places. It's special to us, and we do nothing but just sit on the beach, just all day long, just kind of plant there, read a book, take a nap, and just enjoy relaxing. And for us, it's a place of rest. It's a place of encouragement. We love going there. It's something that even as we were leaving, like, we don't want to leave. Like, it's just good for our soul. We enjoy being able to get away together. But if you were to ask me, hey, is Hilton Head the dearest place on earth for you? The answer would be no. Even this past week, we had a couple in our home that we're kind of investing in some, kind of walking through some marriage stuff, and we were talking about this, and they were asking about how to build your marriage on the gospel and around Christ. And one of the primary ways that we encourage them to do this that we've seen, and they said, how has this worked in your lives? We said, without a doubt, the thing that has helped us more than anything else in our marriage has been the church. It is the consistent presence and investment and in love and correction, admonition of God's people that has grounded our marriage in Jesus Christ. By his grace, through the power of the Spirit, it's been the church. Is the church the dearest place on earth to you? And if not, I want to encourage you this morning, maybe it should be. And I think that's what Paul's getting at in Ephesians chapter 4. He is unpacking in this passage why the church should be the dearest place on earth for us. And the reason that he gives is that it is through the church, it is through God's people. And if you have your Bible still open, I encourage you to look here in verse 13. It is the place where we together all attain to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. The church is the means by which God's people become built up into the image of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit works in his people through his people. So how do we get built up into the image of Jesus Christ? How do we become more mature in our faith? How do we reflect Christ in our lives? Well, the answer that Paul gives in this passage is we must be equipped. That doesn't happen randomly. It doesn't happen haphazardly. To grow up into the fullness of Christ means we must be equipped. And that's our big truth this morning that comes straight from this text. The church is called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The church is called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Look again at verse 12. I'm starting 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. Why? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Why is the church the dearest place on earth? Because the church is where we are equipped to become like Jesus. It is the place we grow. It's the place we are invested in. It's the place we are formed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to be a people who become like Jesus and live like Jesus and love like Jesus, we need to be equipped within the context of God's people, the church. You need that. I need that. The church is called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So what I want to do is I just kind of walk through this passage, and there's three questions that I want to kind of ask in this text answers for us this morning. Here are the three questions. First, why is equipping necessary? Why do you need to be equipped? Why do I need to be equipped? Why should we care about this? A second really important question is, what is the purpose of equipping the saints? Why would God call us to this? What is the purpose of it? And then the last question, how do we personally engage in equipping the saints? What does that look like here at Tri-Cities? What is your part in that? What is my part in that? How do we take a next step toward that together? So let's just dive into these questions and into this passage. First question is this: why is equipping necessary? Why do you need to be equipped? Why should you care? Why should I care? Let me just highlight four reasons that Paul gives from this passage really quickly. The first one is this: we, as God's people, we are called to unity, but unity is not natural. Anybody else feel that this morning? We live in a divisive country, we live in a divisive world, and all that division can seep into the church really, really easily. And Paul begins this part of his letter, it's kind of a transitionary part in the book of Ephesians, by addressing unity. Look back at verse 1. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you, under compulsion, he's pushing them, I urge you to walk, live out, continual action in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. What's he saying? I want your life, church, to magnify the worth of Jesus. To walk in a manner worthy of our calling means that our lives magnify the worth of Jesus, that when people see us, they get a picture of the worth of Christ lived out through us. Well, how does that happen? Well, he answers that in the following verses. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And here's the key part, verse 3. Eager, speaks to our desire, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the bond of peace. That we as God's people should be eager to maintain unity of the Spirit. That's not unity on every political decision or unity on everything that's happening in our culture. It's not what he's talking about, but unity on God's word, unity through God's Spirit, unity in mission, unity in purpose. God's people are called to be united by those things. And you might say, well, that sounds good, but that's really hard. What does that look like? Well, he describes it in verse 2. With all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing one another. How do we do that? Well, we were reminded last week about when we were talking about abide, our position in Christ. And Paul says the reason why we can pursue unity and should pursue unity is because of our identity. Verse 4, there is one body, one Spirit. You were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all. He says the word one a lot. Are you getting the point? He's there. He's calling their attention, our attention, to realize that we pursue unity because we have been united with Christ. We should be a people who walk in unity with one another because of the unity that we have in Jesus Christ. But unity is not natural for us. Do I have any parents in the room that could get an amen who have young kids? My kids will argue about arguing with one another. It'd be the most random things, like blue is better than green. No, it's not. Yes, it is. I'm not arguing. No, yes, you are. And all of a sudden, this whole thing. Like, unity is not natural to us. In our fallenness, in our sin nature, we don't pursue unity. We pursue our own end. But God calls us to unity. So one of the reasons why we need to be equipped, and this is why Paul's writing this to the church at Ephesus, is because on our own, we aren't naturally going to drift toward unity. On our own, we are going to drift toward disunity. And so we need to be equipped to refocus us. Like I love, look at verse 1. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Like Paul's in chains. And he could have just said, I therefore a prisoner. But look at how he doesn't let his circumstances frame his purpose. He lets his purpose frame his circumstance. I'm not just a prisoner. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I've been thrown in this jail for God's purposes. You're not just sick or have cancer. You have cancer for the Lord. You're not just an overwhelmed mom or an overwhelmed parent. You are an overwhelmed parent for the Lord. You are a doctor. You are an educator. You are a student. Wherever you are, if you are a Jesus follower, you are there for the Lord. Equipping refocuses us on our purpose. It refines us. It calls us to pursue loving one another selflessly and sacrificially. When we pursue unity, and the reason we need to be equipped is it reminds us. We get distracted so easily. So one of the reasons why we need to be equipped by God's people, by the church, is because unity is not natural for us. But a second reason he tells us that we need to be equipped is because God has gifted leaders for this purpose. God has gifted leaders for this purpose. Look at verse 11 and 12. And he gave, this is a gift from God to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. What is the purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, there's a lot that could be said about this, and there's different thoughts on kind of what these gifts are and who they belong to, but what is clear in this passage is that these are specific gifts that are given in different measures of grace. He says that back in verse 7. You can go back. God's varied grace. Every Jesus follower has been gifted, but some Jesus followers are gifted in specific ways in order to serve the body. He's already set that up. And the gifts in this list are not comprehensive. You can see other lists of gifts in Romans chapter 12 or 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But these gifts are proclamation gifts. When he talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, shepherds, those are proclamation gifts. Well, why are those gifts given to the body, to some differently than others? So they might equip the body. And so the takeaway for us in that is that God has gifted the body with leaders, with people in these gifts, so that we might be built up, so that we might be equipped. So we need these people. We need these gifts. God's created us for that purpose. So we need to be equipped and lean into it because God has given leaders for this purpose. Third, and this is really, really important, God has called every saint to the work of ministry. So God has gifted the church with leaders who carry these proclamation gifts for the purpose of equipping the saints. But why are we to be equipped? So that you and I might do the work of ministry. Look again at verse 12. This is so important. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. So let me ask the question this way. Who does the work of ministry? The leaders or the saints? Well, technically, we'd say both, I guess, right? You know, it feels like a trick question. I don't want to set you up on a Sunday morning. But in the context of this passage, what he's saying is the saints are the ministers. If you are a member of this church, if you are a Jesus follower who's united yourself, you are a minister of this church. The ministers aren't just Pastor Mike or Pastor Paul or Pastor Daniel or Pastor David. You are a minister of the church. And God has equipped some of the leaders with gifts so that they can equip you to be a minister to one another. And so we need to grow up into that so that we might help other people grow. Notice that the gifting is of some, but that all might do the work of ministry. Another way that we've said this at Tri-Cities a lot over the years is that every member is a minister. Every member, a minister. Every single person who's here, who's a Jesus follower, who's a part of this church body, you are called by God to minister to others. You are called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So as we equip you, you equip others. And that's the way the body's built up. That's the way the body grows. That's the way the gospel gets proclaimed. That's the way people go from immaturity in the faith to maturity in the faith. The church is not built on the talents and gifting of a few, but on the sacrifice of many who lean in and grow and then take what they've grown in and they invest their lives into the lives of others. You can see this in 2 Timothy 1 and 2. We don't have it on the screen. You can go back and read it later. But Paul tells Timothy, take what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and entrust that to faithful men and women who will then be able to teach others also. That's what equipping the saints looks like. Someone who's been gifted equips the church takes that equipping and they equip others, and the gospel message goes on and on and on. You have a responsibility to that. I have a responsibility to that. So why is equipping necessary? We're called to unity, but it's not natural. Second, God has gifted leaders for this purpose. Third, God has called every saint to the work of ministry. And this, a last thought on this really quickly, is our propensity as individuals, our tendency, our proclivity, this is where we drift, this is where we go on our own apart from the Spirit, is to remain spiritually immature by choosing to pursue independence over edification, which results in being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We can see this as we walk through this passage together. Look at verse 14. Why do we build one another up? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Here's what Paul's saying. And Paul's saying this to the church. So the whole context, hang with me, the whole context of these 16 verses is unity in Christ. And the way that we grow in unity is by building one another up, by being equipped by the church of God. And here's what he's saying happens. If you or I say, you know what? I don't want that. I don't need that. I can get that on my own. I'm going to choose independence. I'm going to choose self-reliance. I don't need God's people. I don't need God's church. Here's what he's saying. You are immature in your faith. And you're going to be tossed about by every kind of doctrine that comes into your life. It's going to be confusing. It's going to be disorienting. It's going to carry you off. That there are deceitful schemes from people out there. There are attacks from the enemy. They're coming for your soul. And if you don't have the anchor of God's people calling you back to truth, speaking the truth in love, you will be immature in your faith. I will be immature in my faith. This is a warning to us. Again, we were at the ocean this past week, and it's kind of fun like to sit at the beach when you don't have kids and you're not playing lifeguard all the time, and you can kind of just sit out and watch other parents like play lifeguard and be like, oh, I'm glad that's not me this time. And you sit there, and you see kids go out to boogie board or whatever in the ocean, and it's inevitable wherever they go out, within 2 or 3 minutes, they are not there anymore, right? They are down the beach every single time. Why? Because on their own, in those waves, they are going to get pulled down by the current. The only kids that don't move are the ones that got two parents, a parent or two, standing there with them, anchoring in them into that one spot, holding them there, keeping them from drifting, keeping them from moving down the current. And that's a picture of what Paul's saying to us. If we are not anchored into being equipped by God's church and by God's people, we're going to drift away into immaturity. And you see that again and again and again in our culture. We see people walking away from the faith, people deconstructing their faith, moving from the truths of Scripture, and it's because they've pulled themselves out of the truth of God's word and the preaching and teaching of God's word that anchors their souls. This is a warning to the church at Ephesus, but it's also a warning to us. So that's some of the reasons why equipping is necessary. So here's what I want to do. Let's talk about the purpose of it. What is God's intended design for equipping? And then how do you and I take a next step into that in the time we have left? So second question, what is the purpose of equipping the saints? A few big ideas really quickly. First is this. The church equips the saints so that they might grow up into maturity, the measure and stature and fullness of Jesus. Let me say that again. The church equips the saints so they might grow up into maturity, the measure and stature and fullness of Jesus. Why is equipping important? What is the purpose of it? So that you and I might grow up and become more and more like Jesus Christ. That sounds good, doesn't it? Like that's God's design for your life. God doesn't want you and I to stay where we are. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to become more like Christ. Christ-likeness is the goal. Christ-likeness is the standard. Christ-likeness is the pursuit. It is the measure. As a parent, I think sometimes one of the hardest things for parents, and everybody's kind of different in the spectrum, but it can be hard to see your kids grow up, right? Like there's a kind of a sweetness that changes in different seasons of life, and Jack is moving from elementary into middle school this year, and so there's just a lot of changes happening around our home right now in the Mermillion family, and there's things that's exciting about that, but there's things that you miss. But every parent wants their child to grow up, right? Like, it wouldn't be really fun if, like, your child's senior pictures, they're still wearing a onesie and a pacifier and a diaper. That would not be winning as a parent for a senior year. Like, even though it might be hard for our kids to grow up, and, you know, the culture knows about that, so now, like, we have graduations for preschoolers, which seems ridiculous to me, but I won't offend half the people in the room on that. Like, we know, like, growing up is a good thing. We should long to grow up. And spiritually, what the Apostle Paul is saying, we should long to grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. We should not be satisfied with where we are. We should long and strive to grow, and we should long to help others grow up, to become more like Jesus Christ. That is the goal for you. That is the goal for me. Our goals, brothers and sisters in Jesus, is to help one another grow up. The aim is the measure and stature and fullness of Christ. That means we never will arrive. Amen? On this side of eternity, you will never reach the fullness, the measure, the stature fully of Jesus Christ. So that means in this life, there is never an excuse for us to stop trying to grow. There's never an excuse for us to stop pursuing holiness. There's never an excuse for us to stop trying to put sin to death. We grow and we grow and we grow until Jesus calls us home. And we don't stop. We lean into that. And we need to be equipped in order to do that. Notice in verse 15, he doesn't just say, in some ways, grow up into the image of Christ. But what does he say? In every way. We should long to be like Jesus in every single way. There's no limit to that. It is always progressive, always running forward. This means, again, we will never arrive, but we should never grow complacent. So two things I think are really important when we think about this big idea. First, it serves as a warning, church. It serves as a warning to us. Listen to this. An unwillingness to pursue growth and an unwillingness to pursue equipping in your life as a Jesus follower is a sign of one of two things. Either your spiritual growth is stunted and you're moving into immaturity, or two, you're not really a Jesus follower. If you have no desire to become like Christ, if you are convinced that you're good and you don't need growth, you don't need the body speaking into you, you don't need more time in the Word, you don't need to put sin to death, that you're okay where you are, either one, you're immature as a believer in your faith, and just want to lovingly say, man, let's pursue something more. Or two, it could be that the Holy Spirit's using a moment like this to say, man, maybe the fruit of the Spirit isn't even in you at all. That you've grown up around religion, you've grown up around church, you've grown up around a belief system, but it's not changing you. And friend, if you look at your life and say, man, I've never had a desire to be equipped, I've never had a desire to grow, I really have no love for the Word, I really don't want to be among God's people, that there's no desire in me for that. Brother, sister, maybe God is calling you to see there's a better life for you. There's life in Christ that you haven't even experienced yet. Turn to Him. Repent of your sin. Rest in Him. He wants to save you into new life. I wish we had time to keep reading through Ephesians 4. He goes on to talk about the new life we have in Christ and how it changes us and it marks us. So this serves as a warning to us. We should not grow complacent. We should not move into spiritual immaturity. But there's also an encouragement here, so I want to encourage you. Here's the encouragement from this idea. Growing up in Christ is possible. It's possible. Like, He wouldn't say that we are to be equipped to build one another up into the maturity of Jesus Christ if we couldn't be built up, if we couldn't become more like Him. So while we may not arrive at the fullness of everything that Jesus is, brother, sister, take heart, you can grow. You can grow up. And this church, Tri-Cities Baptist Church, your pastors, your elders, long to help you grow up into maturity. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be. We're called to help one another in that pursuit, to grow in, and he says in verse 3, unity of faith. Faith is always trust in God, demonstrated by obedience. So there's a growing faith that is lived out in obedience to God's word. Then he also says unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And when he's talking about knowledge, he's not just talking about information, but this word knowledge means discernment. That as we are growing in the truth of God's word, it's reshaping the way we see our lives. It's changing us from the inside out. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul uses the same word for knowledge, and he talks about this knowledge leads to renewal into the image of Christ. It's a knowledge that transforms. It's a knowledge that changes us. So you can grow up. That's good news this morning. So the church equips the saints so that they might grow up into maturity, the measure, the stature, the fullness of Jesus. Second big idea. The church equips the saints so that they might equip one another by building up the body of Christ and speaking the truth in love. So if God has gifted some of the leaders within the church to equip you so that you might become more like Christ, what is your responsibility as a member of this church family? Well, he tells us, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Why? For the building up of the body of Christ. You play a part in the building up of the body of Christ. What does it mean to build someone else? That's a construction metaphor. It means to help someone take a next step of becoming like Jesus Christ. Every single person here can do that. You can take what God is teaching you, growing in you, convicting you of, showing you, and you can take that and you can bring someone else into that and help them grow in that area. That's what building up one another looks like. But then he also says a way that we build one another up, we see in verse 15, is by speaking the truth in love. We build one another up by speaking the truth. What is the truth? It's God's word. You see, if we speak the truth, but there is no love, we become hard, legalistic, pharisaical. But if we only speak love and we don't speak truth, then we're not actually loving people. And we like to affirm one another, we like to encourage one another, and we're afraid of stepping on toes so we don't speak the truth. No, it's both. We speak the truth, but we speak it in love. What is the aim of love? To build one another up, to help one another become like Jesus. That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. That's our responsibility. We get to do that together as a church, helping others take a next step by speaking the truth and speaking it in love to one another. This is what we want to pursue as our church family. So that leads to a last question and a last big idea. What does this look like practically? How do we personally engage in equipping the saints? So, okay, Paul, I get it. I need to be equipped. The purpose of equipping is to help me and others grow up into Jesus, and I'm called to equip others. What does that look like personally? How do I do that in this church family? Last big idea. We actively commit to continually loving, pursuing, praying for, and helping one another become like Jesus. And I want to highlight those words, actively and commit. That's what the membership promises are. It's you and I saying to one another, I'm going to show up in your life. I'm going to help you grow. Not because I'm better than you, but because I love you. Because I'm growing and other people are helping me grow. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to speak the truth to you. I'm going to speak in love. I'm going to learn the word. I'm going to be a part of the equipping of the saints so that I can help you grow. We see that in verses 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, there's our word again, when each part is working properly, listen to this, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Who wants to be a part of a church that builds itself up in love? Not very many hands. That's disappointing. I do. I want to be a part of a church family that is building up one another in the love of Christ. And that is the call that God's given us. Here are our membership promises. This is what we commit to you, and this is what we commit to one another. We promise to pursue fellowship, equipping you to connect in community, to pursue mutual edification, that's the building up, equipping you to serve one another, We promise to pray for you, to love you. Then as a body, we promise to one another to live in Christian fellowship, connecting, pursuing community with my church family, to discover, to develop, to use my gifts, talents, and experiences, not for myself, but what? To serve one another. This is the kind of family we want to be. The kind of family who's building one another up in love, not in a cultural understanding of love, in a love that reflects the love of Jesus Christ. Because this is what Jesus said before he went to the cross. A new commandment I give you, that you would love one another, talking about God's people, just as I have loved you. This is how the world will know that you are my disciples, by the way that you love one another. Church family, do you love one another? Do you want to be equipped? Do you want to be built up? Are you leaning into that? Then are you actively trying to build others up? All right, so you might be saying, all right, Paul, I'm in. I want to do this. I want to pursue this. What's my next step? What's my next step? What does this look like for a church family? Well, as we head into the fall, and it's hard to believe fall's almost here, just a few weeks away in August, there's really kind of three ways that we are working to intentionally equip you, equip the saints for the work of ministry that we want to invite you into. And I'm not going to go into all the details right now. We will in the coming weeks, but I want to make you aware of what you can be a part of, and we want to challenge you to be a part of. First is our groups ministry is going to be centered around equipping the saints. So you've heard us mention the word go group, and we'll talk more about that in the future. But starting in August, you're going to have a chance to be a part of go groups. They're going to meet on Sunday mornings, every other hour that kind of goes alongside the worship gathering. They're going to meet outside of Sunday mornings all throughout the week, and it's going to be an opportunity for you to take a next step of growth with other Jesus followers. And every go group is designed to not just help you take a next step of growth, but when you finish that group, to take what you've learned and think about, how can I take this to someone else's life? So I just want to encourage you, as we come to the fall church family, be a part of a go group. Get with other people. Be invested in. Love one another. There's going to be so many options and opportunities for you to do that. And you can go online now and pre-register, say, hey, I'm interested. I want to get the information when it comes out first. You can do that now. Another way that we're going to equip you is our team has been working really, really hard to develop discipleship resources. We're calling them blueprint guides to go with this building metaphor. And they're just little guides that go along with a book or along with another resource that would help you grow personally or that you could take somebody else through. And so in a few weeks when this renovation is done, by God's grace, there's going to be a resource center set up downstairs where there's going to be tools, really simple tools that will help you take someone else through a next step of growth. And we're going to train you to do that. We're going to come alongside of you. And so if you say, man, I want to build up the body, but I don't know how, we're going to have resources for you. But not only are we going to have resources for you, on Wednesday nights we're going to have a place called Equip, where you can get equipping, coaching, encouragement, and how to help other people grow. So here's what's going to happen in the fall. There's going to be opportunities for you to be closer with other brothers and sisters in Christ in this family. There's going to be resources. They're going to help you grow as a disciple maker, as an equipper of others. And then if you want to grow in that, we're going to put you around people who are going to love you and serve you and come alongside of you and help you grow. So here's the ask. If you are a member of this church family, this is your home, we want to encourage you to be equipped so that you might build up your brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we as a church body might be built up in love. And why does all this matter? Why would Paul take the time to write this part of the letter to the church at Ephesus? Here's why it matters. And I'm wrapping up with this. When the church is building one another up in love, it becomes a tangible witness of the gospel to the watching world. When God's people love one another and are united together, pursuing Jesus, becoming more like him, the watching world sees that. And God gets the glory. We want to be a lighthouse. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. talking to his people, talking to this church that's going to come. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. If we live out this kind of love, if we pursue being equipped and building up one another in love, speaking the truth in love, it won't be hidden. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your parenting. It'll change the way that you go to your office. It'll change the way that you're a student. It'll change the way you respond to your parents. It will be seen. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's what we long to be. And that's why we equip the saints for the work of ministry. Would you pray with me? And invite the team to come up, and you're going to lead us in a time of response. But as they do, I know there's a lot that we've taken in this morning. Here's what I want you to think about. Is the church the dearest place on earth to you? Do you love your church? Not just in feeling, but in action. And it's just an opportunity to say, if the answer is no or I'm not sure, man, before the Lord, God, would you please grow my love for your church? Would you make the church dear to me? Maybe there's just some crazy things happening in your life. Maybe you're walking through some really difficult, hard things. Maybe there's just a lot of mess and brokenness, and that's all you see right now. It's an opportunity to give that back to God. Maybe you're here and since COVID, like engaging in the gathering and anything beyond that, groups or pursuit or discipleship, that's just been non-existent. You've let the busyness of all the other things kind of take priority. And when church and God's community work, you lean in, but when it doesn't, you don't. This is an opportunity to confess that. God, forgive me. I've not made being equipped a priority. And I've not been actively trying to build up my brothers and sisters in love, speaking the truth in love. God, help me. And again, good news, church. You can grow. You can grow toward the fullness and stature of Christ. You can help others grow. Would you commit this morning and say, Lord, I want to do that. Help me do that, Holy Spirit. Help me prioritize my life around the gospel, around your people, by your grace, through the power of your Spirit. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends. God, forgive us. Forgive me. I get so selfish and so self-centered. I think there's even just a weight that we feel kind of coming out of the last couple years where there's almost a relief when we don't have to go to things or be around people and we kind of can just be to ourselves. Would you change that in us? Would you help us to love your church like you do? Would you help us to love being equipped like you call us to? Would you help us speak the truth in love? So that we might come a shining light of the gospel here in the Tri-Cities, and we pray beyond for your glory. Lord, please build us up. Help us to build our lives on you, in your love, alongside your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.